Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range, my weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Oh yes, see that banner go. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 470. We will be getting into the book of Ibrim, Hebrews. I'm going back to the old format because there are so many notes and so many marked passages in here that are quoting scripture. I'm going to have to do them verse by verse. There are 13 chapters in Hebrews, so it's not that long of a book, but I'm going to take my time with it because of the importance of so many of the passages. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. If you've missed any of my shows and would like to download or listen to them, the Wake Up Call shows and the Word for Word shows and my personal posts and things for sale are on my website. It's not interactive, nobody can troll, so there's no chat room or comments section. It is for download and study only. So that solves a lot of problems for me. I don't have to babysit my website like we have to do every place else. What a mess. Yeah, the whole world's a mess. We're watching it go down the tubes here and waiting for the Messiah's return who will set it all right. Let's get started in the book of Hebrews. This is chapter 1, verse 1. Elohim, having of old spoken in many portions and many ways to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by the Son, whom he has appointed heir of all, through whom also he made the ages. And for verse 2, you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 22. That's in your Apocrypha, Wisdom of Solomon 7:22, and the book of John, chapter 1, verse 3. That's John 1, 3. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of the esteem and the exact representation of his substance, and sustaining all by the word of his power, having made a cleansing of our sins through himself, sat down at the right hand of the greatness, with a capital G, on high. Now that's an appellation for Yahweh. And for verse 3, you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. That's 7, 25 and 26. And chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Psalm 110, verse 1. That's Psalm 110, 1. There's a lot of these in here that I'm going to have to give you. So please be patient with me. I can't read directly through as I have in the other books. It's just not going to be possible in this one because of the extensiveness of all the notes. Verse 4. Having become so much better than the messengers, as he has inherited a more excellent name than them. Now the messengers, they are speaking of divine messengers here. What you would call angels in the King James. That is a church term that they have put in, but most people are familiar with it. I do not use it, but that's me. I try to go straight with what it says in Scripture without putting any appellations of churchianity into the text. Just a second, let me get a drink of coffee here. Okay. Verse 5. For to which of the messengers did he ever say? You know, for to which of the messengers did he ever say? Which one? They're divine beings, they're angels. But he never said this to any of them. You are my son. Today I have brought you forth, reference Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. And again, I shall be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Okay. Second Samuel, chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, and 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 13. 1 Chronicles 17:13. verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he's speaking of the second coming, he says, let all the messengers of Elohim do reverence to him. That's the mighty angels again. Psalm 97, verse 7. Psalm 97, 7. And Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. Now, verse 7. And of the messengers, indeed, he says, who is making his messengers spirits and his servants a flame of fire. Now you can reference Psalm 104, verse 4. That's Psalm 104, verse 4, on verse 7. Verse 8 9, and 9. Okay, verses 8 and 9. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of straightness is the scepter of your reign. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Because of this, Elohim, your Elohim, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you can reference Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. 45, 6 and 7. He's calling the Son, Yahshua, Elohim. Yahweh's saying this because the Son and the Father are one. Yahweh and Yahshua are one. They're not really separatable except by Yahweh for his purpose when he manifested as the Son. Christ himself said many times, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, that's so plain and simple. And they try to confute that, and they try to deny that. The churchianity people over and over and over have a problem with simple text that Yahshua said. Let's see, verses 8 and 9 I read, verses 10, 11, and 12, 10, 11, and 12 of chapter 1. And you, Master, did found the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands, verse 11. They shall perish, but you remain. And they shall all grow old like a garment. Verse 12. And like a mantle you shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. Reference Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Yahweh is eternal. This earth as it is right now has become, under the deception and the manipulation of the prince and power of the air, the evil one, he's made mankind and his own progeny, the serpent seed, pollute and destroy pretty much this planet. It says it will all be changed in verse 12. The new heaven and the new earth. Because he's going to destroy this current thing, and all those evildoers that don't acknowledge and don't serve him, and he will instantaneously renew for those of us in the remnant the heaven and the earth. Everything's going to be changed, and we will be changed too. We will be changed so we can live there. All of this is coming to pass. We're watching the wrath start to unfold in these days. Verse 13. And to which of the messengers did he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Verse 14. Are they not all serving spirits sent out to attend those who are about to inherit deliverance? Reference Tobit, chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Tobit 12, 14 and 15. Are they not all serving spirits sent out to attend those who are about to inherit deliverance? That's the chosen people that are going to inherit the deliverance because they are his inheritance. And we will get the deliverance through Yeshua, who came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And these messengers, these mighty angels, when we have regained our immortal status, when we are changed, as it says in verse 12 here, we will judge angels, those that were rebellious, those that were evil, we will judge them. Those of the remnant. That's pretty potent stuff right there. Wow. That ends chapter 1. Let's get into chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. Verse 1. Because of this, we have to pay more attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. He's speaking of the word. Okay. Verse 2. For if the word spoken through messengers proved to be firm, and every transgression and disobedience received a right reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance, which first began to be spoken by the Master, and was confirmed to us by those that heard? Verse 4, Elohim also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the set-apart Spirit distributed according to his own desire. He distributes them. Okay? A lot of people get jealous because somebody's got a different gift. Well, they need to be thankful for the gift they've got. Yahweh decides who gets what. Okay? We need to set our egos aside and submit and be obedient to Yahweh. All right, verse 5. For it is not to messengers that he has subjected the world to come, concerning which we speak. This is the coming kingdom. Verses 6, 7, and 8 of chapter 2. But somewhere one is witnessed saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you look after him? And in original language, what is Adam that you remember him, or the son of Adam that you look after him. All right. Verse 7. You have made him a little lower than Elohim. And according to the Greek text, it would say messengers. But this verse is quoted from Psalm 8, verse 5. Okay. You have made him a little lower than the angels, in the King James. You have crowned him with esteem and respect and set him over the works of your hands. Verse 8, you have put all in subjection under his feet. Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. Psalm 8, 4 through 6. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left none that is not subjected to him, but now we do not yet see all subjected to him. Verse 9, but we do see him who was made, and this is the key passage, for a little while lower than the messengers, Yahshua, because of the suffering of death, crowned with esteem and respect, that by the favor of Elohim he should taste death for everyone. He could not come as a divine being in totality because he couldn't suffer and die for our sins and bail us out. Because without that bailout, we would be doomed. So he was lower, lesser than the divine angels for a short time in order to get the job done that he was assigned. Okay? We weren't making it with the sacrifice of bulls and goats and stuff like that. Just putting sin off 1 year, and people would die in their sins. Yahweh couldn't have that. He loves his children. So he manifested himself as the Son. Okay? And took our punishment on him. Wow. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him because of whom all are and through whom all are, in bringing many sons to esteem, to make the prince of their deliverance perfect through sufferings. He suffered for us, because without him we would be doomed. Without that perfect sacrifice. Verse 11, dig this. For both he who sets apart and those who are being set apart are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. We are co-inheritors. We are going to inherit as sons. Because we are children of Yahweh. Verse 12, saying, I shall announce your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I shall sing praise to you. Praise the name of Yahweh. Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm 22, 22, and Psalm 45, 17. 45, 17. And the book of John, chapter 17, verses 6 and 26. John 17, 6 and 26. And here's verse 13. And again, I shall put my trust in him. Isaiah chapter 8:17. Isaiah 8:17. And again, see, I and the children whom Elohim gave me. Isaiah 8, verse 18. Isaiah 8, verse 18. Verse 14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself similarly shared in the same, so that by means of his death, he might destroy him having the power of death, that is, the devil. When Yeshua sacrificed himself, he wrecked the devil's plans to destroy all of Israel. He's still trying, but he's not going to succeed. He's not going to get all of us. He's going to get those that fall away. We're warned not to fall away. We're warned and warned and warned. Keep the faith. Occupy it till the end. Some will, some won't. All we can do is exhort to righteousness here. We can't force anybody to do anything. Verse 16 of chapter 2 of Hebrews. For doubtless he does not take hold of messengers, that's the angels, but he does take hold of the seed of Abraham. That is us. He takes hold of the seed of Abraham, the children of the promise. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 41, 8 and 9. So in every way he had to be made like his brothers, that would be us, in order to become a compassionate and trustworthy high priest in matters related to Elohim. He had to know what we went through in this life, experience himself, to make atonement for the sins of the people. He is the final perfect sacrifice. He makes atonement forever. We don't have to do bulls and goats anymore. Verse 18. For in what he had suffered, himself being tried, he is able to help those who are tried. He was tried. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was tempted. He had everything happen to him that happens to a fleshly Adamite. And he was perfect. He had to know what we were going through. He had to experience it firsthand and suffer the death that we suffer so we would not have to suffer that second death. We will be resurrected because he was the first fruits of the resurrection, and we will follow if we are of him. Okay. Now begins chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, set apart brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, closely consider the emissary and high priest of our confession, Messiah Yeshua, verse 2, who was trustworthy to him who appointed him, as also Moshe in all his house. Reference Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 3. For this one has been deemed worthy of more esteem than Moshe, as much as he who built the house enjoys more respect than the house. verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all is Elohim. That's Yahweh. Verse 5. And Moshe indeed was trustworthy in all his house as a servant, for a witness of what would be spoken later. Verse 6. But Messiah as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the boldness and the boasting of the expectation firm to the end, if we keep the faith. In other words, we fall away, we lose it. You got to keep the faith. Verse 7. Therefore, as, well, actually 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. That's what the reference will be for. Verse 7. Therefore, as the set apart spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Verse 9, where your fathers tried me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, therefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. And it breaks off right there and gives the reference of Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 95, 7 through 11. Now here's verse 12. This is a warning. Look out, brothers, lest there be in any of you a wicked heart of unbelief in falling away from the living Elohim. Verse 13. But encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceivableness of sin. In other words, don't let the world creep up on you. Stay in the faith and stay true. He's warning them, because if you don't, well, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold fast the beginning of our trust firm to the end. If we hold fast firm to the end. Those are the key words. Okay. Verse 15 of chapter 3. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Again, Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 95, 7 and 8. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Reference Numbers 14, verses 1 through 35. Numbers 14, verses 1 through 35. Verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Was it not all who came out of Mitzrayim led by Moshe? Verse 17. And with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey. In other words, who did he say, you're not coming into my rest, you're not going to make it into the kingdom, to those that didn't obey? Well, the same holds true now. Yeah, Yeshua is Messiah. He is the Redeemer of Israel. But you have to obey. Just like back then, the same now. You can't just say, oh, I believe, and then just go live in the world. Don't change your life. Just live according to stuff. Worship stuff. Accumulate stuff. What good's it going to do you? You're not going to take it with you when you go. It's better to work for your eternal life than to accumulate stuff. Verse 19 of chapter 3. So we see that they were unable to enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Well, same now. It hasn't changed. If you say you believe but then don't live it, then you really don't believe, do you? It's fake. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, that's through Yeshua, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Verse 2. For indeed, the good news was brought to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not having been mixed with belief in those who heard it. People have heard it. People have heard the preaching. People have heard the gospel, which is the good news, gospel. That's what good news is. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Reference Psalm 95:11 again. Psalm 95:11. And yet his works have come into being from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For somewhere he has said thus about the seventh day, and Elohim rested on the seventh day from all his works. That's Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. The seventh day, the Shabbat day. Verse 5, and in this again, if they shall enter into my rest, talking about the Shabbat, and the final rest with him. Psalm 95:11 again. Okay. Verse 6, since then it remains for some to enter into it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter in because of disobedience. Disobedience. When you make this covenant, there are rules to the covenant, and you have to obey those rules. Verse 7. He again defines a certain day. Today, saying through Dawood so much later, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. Verse 8, for if Yahshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Now, he's not talking about Yahshua Messiah. He's talking about Joshua, okay, Moses' successor. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, 7. And the book of Joshua, chapter 22, verse 4. Joshua 22, 4. Verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. All right, and the Greek word for Sabbath keeping is sabbatismos in the Greek, which means Sabbath keeping. So there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. Verse 10, for the one having entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as Elohim rested from his own. Reference Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, 2. Verse 11, let us therefore do our utmost to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. Verse 12. For the word of Elohim is living and working and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through even to the dividing of being and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He can divide the being and the spirit, and you will drop dead. Take your spirit out. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom is our account. All right, there's an account. You will be accountable. He's keeping check on what you're doing. Making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. For verse 13. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. For verse 13. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yahshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. He lived as a man and suffered a death as a man, but he was also part divine. He could take up that life again in 3 days, as he said. Verse 16. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of favor in order to receive compassion and find favor for timely help. In other words, stay in touch with Yahweh, and if you need spiritual assistance and strengthening, you pray for it and you will get it. I have time to do chapter 5. It's a very short chapter. My. Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For every priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in matters relating to Elohim to offer both gifts and offerings for sins. Verse 2, being able to have a measure of feeling for those not knowing and being led astray, since he himself is also surrounded by weakness. In other words, a priest is a man. Okay, they were offering sacrifices in the temple, etc., etc. It was just a man doing that. Verse 3, and on account of this, he has to offer for sins. As for the people, so also for himself. The priest had to do a sin offering under the old rules. Reference Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7. Leviticus 9, 7. Verse 4. And no one obtains this esteem for himself, but he who is called by Elohim, even as Aharon also was. You have to be called to the service. Reference Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. Exodus 28, 1. Verse 5. So also the Messiah did not extol himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have brought you forth. Psalm 2, verse 7. And verse 6, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110, verse 4. 110, 4. And Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Okay, that's what that means. Verse 7. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and petitions with strong crying and tears, to him was who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his reverent fear. Verse 8, though being a son, he learned obedience by what he suffered. And verse 7, that's verse and 8, reference Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. And Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. That's Mark 14, 32 through 42. And Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Luke 22, 39 through 46. In other words, he said, Father, your will be done. He could have said, take me off this stake and heal me. And if he would have done that, we all would have been doomed. And he was obedient, because he was Yahweh in the flesh. He could do no less. Verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the causer, with a capital C, that's a title, the causer of everlasting deliverance to all those obeying him. Reference John 3:36. John 3:36. 14:15, 14:23, 14:23, and 15:10, John 15:10, and the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, 3, 22 and 23, verse 10, having been designated by Elohim a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Okay. Melchizedek, actually, in the Hebrew. Verse 11, concerning whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. He's talking to all the Hebrews. You people have your ears stopped up, and you need to clean them out, in other words. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 5. For indeed, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first elements of the words of Elohim. And you have become such as need milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In other words, you've been around long enough, you've heard the word, you're not ignorant of it, but you're acting like little children, and no, I don't know, I forgot, or I don't know, whatever. All these excuses for verses 12 and 13 reference 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. And here we are, verse 14, and this is the end of chapter 5. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice to discern both good and evil. Okay, like my sermons and these readings of the word. My audience, now I see who listens. I'm not feeding milk. I'm feeding solid food, because the people that are most of my audience are experienced in the word. I do good explanations, and they can read along with me and delve into it. And really get benefit out of it. And I'm very blessed in that I have such people. But I also keep it simple enough so new people, like some of the white nationalists that have come over and have become Christians, they're not ready for the real heavy-duty stuff. They need the basics. Well, I give the basics as well as the advanced stuff. So I'm trying to feed both sides of the flock, the little lambs and the grown-up sheep. And that's what I was called to do. And, you know, why do you do all what you do? Why? I don't have a choice. Like Paul says, he's a prisoner of Yeshua Messiah. I am a prisoner of Yeshua Messiah as well. I'm a willing prisoner. I don't want to escape. I don't want to be free of that influence, because it's been such a blessing. I figure I owe it. I have a sense of duty to Israel. A lot of fence sitters have come off the fence, okay, because of teachings of people like me and David James and Eli and the others. We have others, and we're working in this harvest during these last days, and we're watching things really go crazy. And now is the time. It's a desperate push. I have a wake-up call to do for this week. And I'm gathering material to do that. And this is a sad time for me because I'm watching the suffering that our people are going through at the hands of these wicked ones. And it makes me very, very angry. Yeah, it does. I'm not going to lie. They want to call me a hater? No. Not of good people, not of Yahweh's people, but the devil and his minions, yes. Yes, I'm afraid I am a hater of the evil ones. But the Bible tells me that, and they want to say the Bible is a hate book. Well, if they weren't doing evil, they wouldn't be in trouble with Yahweh, now would they? They just wouldn't. They don't want to listen. And that's on them. You know, they make their bed and then they don't want to lie in it. They want to whine and cry. I'm sorry about their bad luck. Look, everybody has a conscious choice to make, okay? I can't bail anybody out. I can only give them the method that they can bail themselves out through Yeshua. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. I can't do anymore. And I hope you enjoy these readings. I know I enjoy doing them because anytime I'm in the Word, I am never happier than when I'm in the Word. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh, and I will catch you on the next show. I'll see you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.